From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. At the United Nations today, the United States and its allies ended efforts to gain backing for war against Iraq. Now the world is bracing for a military conflict.
Secretary of State Colin Powell said the decision to abandon diplomacy came after a number of phone calls this morning to foreign ministers of countries with seats on the Security Council. Now, he said, the time for diplomacy is over.
We used last evening and this morning to consult broadly around the world. We did. The British did. The Spanish did. A lot of people have been talking to each other this morning and overnight. And it became clear that it would be best at this time to withdraw the resolution. And I can think of nothing that Saddam Hussein could do diplomatically. I think that time is now over. He had his chance. He's had many chances over the last 12 years. And he has blown every one of those chances.
Secretary of State Colin Powell speaking this morning. Here in Washington, President Bush will address the nation tonight. He is expected to issue Hussein an ultimatum: leave the country or go to war.
The world is reacting to a possible invasion of Iraq. In London, Robin Cook, the leader in Parliament of Prime Minister Tony Blair's Labour Party, has resigned in protest.
Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien said Canada's forces would play no role in an attack. Australian Prime Minister John Howard says it's likely his country will participate in a war.
In Baghdad, United Nations weapons inspectors are preparing to evacuate. Many journalists have already left.
And in the Gulf, there are now more than 225,000 U.S. troops, with thousands more on their way. American commanders say their forces are ready to carry out any order President Bush might give. Joining us now from Kuwait, where the bulk of U.S. forces are now positioned, is NPR's Mike Schuster. Mike, give us a sense of how these forces are arrayed and what their missions might be, and why don't we begin with the Army?
Well, the Army right now probably has around 65,000 troops in Kuwait on the ground deployed in the desert. The Marines have roughly an equal number, which brings the American ground troops to at least 130,000, maybe more. And when you throw in another 25,000 British ground troops, it looks like the ground force in Kuwait, which is poised to invade Iraq, is over 155,000. That's the best estimate we can have at this point.
And if we look at the Army as compared to the Marines, how different might their missions be?
Their missions may not be very different at all. In the run-up to this, most analysts have said that the 3rd Infantry Division of the Army, which numbers about 21,000 people, will be the spearhead of the invasion, and they may go for Baghdad. And recently it's been said that the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, which is the Marine component, 64,000 troops, may also be going to Baghdad. So it may be that the plan is for a very large ground force to move very quickly, Army and Marines, and head for Baghdad, and then the rest of the ground troops would clear the way, perhaps seal off Basra, the main city in the south, and the oil fields, help the main force of the invasion go for Baghdad, and then back them up, protect the rear.
And support from the air?
It's very large. Depending upon who you talk to and the figures that they use, there are anywhere from 700 to 1,000 aircraft that can be brought to bear in this war, at least 700 warplanes, 300 in the Navy on 5 American and 1 British carrier, and another 400 Air Force arrayed in a variety of air bases throughout the Persian Gulf, a very large air armada that could attack Iraq.
Where are the ships located? How are they positioned right now?
As I understand it, there are 6 carrier battle groups, 1 British, 5 American, near enough to launch attacks against Iraq. There are 4 in the Persian Gulf, 3 American and 1 British, and there are additional 2 American carrier battle groups in the eastern Mediterranean. We don't know exactly where, but they also would be able to launch attack aircraft to fly through the Middle East and hit Iraq.
In the build-up toward this war, we've always heard that if this happens, this would begin with a massive air campaign, which would be supported by ground troops. Is any sense that that's changing, or is that still the plan of attack at this point?
Well, there's not a sense that it's changed. We don't know for certain that it's the plan of attack, but the talk you hear is that in the first 24 to 48 hours of an air assault on Iraq, and specifically on Baghdad, that the U.S. and British forces would bring to bear some 3,000 precision-guided bombs and missiles. It would be a furious attack, but it would last maybe a day or two, and then the ground invasion would begin. In that sense, it would be very different from the Gulf War, which saw an air campaign of 6 weeks before the ground invasion of Kuwait began.
Mike, we've heard reports today out of the Pentagon that there's quite a bit of chatter, concern that Saddam Hussein might use chemical weapons against U.S. troops. Any sense of how the military is reacting to this chatter over there?
It has been the assumption all along by the military, and I think by many journalists and civilians in Kuwait, that there is a high probability that Iraqi forces would use chemical weapons against American troops, probably in the early hours of an invasion. And I think what will happen is that all invading troops will put on chemical protection suits and gas masks when they start this, and many people in Kuwait as well, and certainly the journalists are planning to do the same.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Michelle.
NPR's Mike Schuster in Kuwait.